Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest. Not so mad. On Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to this edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, after being away for so many months, this is your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. After being away for these many months, Allah, through his great wisdom, shut my mouth. Yet before I continue to go forward to say any other words that other than to open this show, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan set the road for me, for you, close the show with some thoughts regarding the eclipse as we have counted down these days to this final day of the holy month of Ramadan. So as this world turns and begins to move forward, the clock begins. And after tonight's program, you will know why. So I open tonight's program with these words from the Holy Quran, Surah 88, the overwhelming event. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, has there come to thee the news of the overwhelming event? Faces on that day will be downcast, laboring, toiling, entering burning fire, made to drink from a boiling spring. They will have no food but of thorns, neither nourishing nor satisfying hunger. Faces on that day will be happy, glad for their striving in a lofty garden, wherein thou wilt hear no vain talk. Therein is a fountain flowing. Therein are thorns raised high, and drinking cups ready placed, and cushions set in rows, and carpets spread out. See they not the clouds, how they are created, and the heaven, how it is raised high, and the mountains, how they are fixed, and the earth, how it is spread out. So remind thou art only one to remind. Thou art not a waiter over them. But whoever turns back and disbelieves, Allah will chastise him with the greatest chastise. Surely to us is their return. Then it is to us for all to call them to account. I mean, with that said, let us get right into it. We have come out of the holy month of Ramadan, while our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine are under siege by that great destroying nation called Israel. Let us feel the pains of our Muslim brothers and sisters. Let us feel the pain of a human being who suffers without food or access to clean water. We fasted these many months, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says. Let our fast be a reflection of that pain, and let us continue to remain steadfast. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had these words to say about feeling the pain.
Let us direct our attention to the man for whom we have come to hear this morning, our beloved brother. And it is my honor to call his name once again and to hear his voice by Allah's permission once again. My beloved and yours, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Dear beloved brother minister.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. You sound beautiful.
As well, you sound beautiful also. I'm honored beyond words to have this opportunity to once again bear witness to the greatness of Allah, to bear witness to the greatness of his prophetic community and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. For he is the root of Islam in the world. He is the eternal door to Prophet Muhammad. And without his noble example, there would be no Islam as we know it. But I am also honored to represent Al Mahdi, the one who was prophesied to come to our beloved world of Islam to guide us back to his straight path. Because it is clear that many of us, though well-intended, have lost our way. And we are in need of a guide. And when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that the sun would rise from the west in the latter day, it did not mean that the actual sun would reverse its course and rise from the west, but it does signify that guidance and light to reinvigorate the Ummah throughout the world would start in the West. So the great Mahdi, Master Fard Muhammad, came to North America by himself and was among us for 20 years before he made himself known to one from among us who would become his messenger, Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I thank Allah that he's allowing me to represent Al Mahdi and to represent the one whom he raised and gave the wisdom of a weighty work, and taught him the meaning of every prophecy that is found in the Quran and in the Bible, which makes him the master teacher that is going to unite us into one ummah, one great community of believers. And he gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to us as the minister of Islam. And he taught Elijah Muhammad for 3 years and 4 months, night and day. And when he was leaving, he said to Elijah Muhammad, "You don't need me anymore." The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Oh, yes, dear Master, I do need you." The Savior didn't say any more, but time showed that what he put in Elijah Muhammad as guidance for us, it took 40 years for him to fully understand that aspect of his mission. And then he summoned me as Moses asked Allah to give him a helper out of his family, remove the knot from his tongue, expand his breast, and make Aaron share his task. And now it is 43rd or 44th year absent my teacher, and we have come to a time so difficult in the world. And so I say to all of you, Ramadan Mubarak, a blessed Ramadan. I wanted to say to us, there's more to our fast than not eating or drinking during the daylight hours or having relations with our wives and husbands. There is an obligation that Allah gives to us when we fast. The word Mubarak comes from Baraka, which signifies the continuance forever of the blessings which a thing possesses and from which extensive good flows. It possesses the sense of firmness, continuity, steadiness, abundance of good, exaltation, collection, and blessings. And the answer comes back from the believer, Ramadan Kareem. That word Kareem comes from the Arabic root karama, meaning to be productive, generous, noble, precious, valuable, honorable, to overcome. come anyone in generosity, to be high-minded, beneficent, noble, illustrious, fruitful, kind, worthy of respect, fair, or holy. I would like to, in this sacred month, ask us to consider what is going on in our world. In Palestine, our beloved family is making their prayers near the rubble of their destroyed homes. They're struggling to find a piece of bread or a drink of clean water. They're dying from famine. They are dying from injuries that were inflicted by the bombing campaign and the destruction of the hospital, so that those who are wounded are walking or laying down with their wounds and no real care, because the hospitals are almost without anything to treat the sick and the wounded. Oh, beloved Muslim, what kind of Ramadan will this be for us if we, during iftar, can sit together and enjoy our family and friends and reach over and eat a date, reach over and have a bowl of soup and food? How can we enjoy the blessing of food and drink without a thought of our people around the world in war zone that cannot find anything to eat? This is going on now in Haiti. This is going on now in the Sudan, in other parts of Africa, in other parts of Asia. Everywhere we look, the people are rising against the wickedness of their leadership. Leadership that is not leading according to the will of God, even in our Muslim world. Some of the leaders are so afraid that war will destroy the beauty of the cities that they have built with the wealth of oil that Allah has blessed them to have. I'm asking us to think of those who have nothing. Don't have a Ramadan where you eat, but you're not checking to see who's eating. Just where you live, next door, around the corner. This Ramadan will be the best Ramadan if fast makes us concerned about others who have nothing to eat and no water to drink. I'm asking us as Muslims to rise to the command of God. I'm asking the Muslim Ummah during this Ramadan, don't partake of the joy of it without thinking about those of the Muslim community who have nothing to eat, no water to drink, no hospital to go to, living in tents. And Israel says, there will be no respect for Ramadan because you have not let all the hostages go. So Mr. Netanyahu says, I am going to attack Rafah. He said he has to do this because if he doesn't attack Rafah, they will lose the war because October the 7th started from the southern part of the Gaza Strip. And he is hell-bent on destroying it completely. What should we do in the face of a beast in human form? How should we react? How can the Muslim world believe that Allah is going to bless them in this Ramadan, if in this Ramadan they don't give a thought or a prayer for our beloved Muslims in Palestine and in the West Bank, in Gaza, in other parts of the world? Allah is plaguing the earth because he intends to set down every tyrant. None will lead the human family with corrupt minds and hearts and their non-thinking for the little man, the poor man, the man that's in the dust. What good are we as Muslims if our fast of Ramadan doesn't give us a greater sense of what it is to be hungry? What good are we as Muslims if we don't try to do good for those who have nothing? We thank Allah that we have something to eat, but if we don't feel the pain of others who are suffering at this very moment, then this, as I said on Savior's Day, is a test for us. Because if we don't feel their pain, if we don't cry when they cry out to Allah to give the food, I've heard some of them say death is sweeter because a mother can't feed her child. Babies are dying and mothers are holding their babies and screaming out. And we are planning days of enjoyment. I'm not trying to make you upset, But if what is happening does not make us upset, we are very, very sick. And it soon will be at our door, since we don't feel the hurt of others and rise to do something about it, Allah will take our blessing away and famine will stretch from one end of the earth to another. War will stretch from one end of the earth to another. Bombs will fall and even nuclear weapons will be used. This is the war of Armageddon, and Allah himself is leading the war. None shall escape what God is intending when he removes the wicked from the face of the earth and sets up a government of universal peace based on truth and justice. Beloved Muslims, I thank Allah that he allowed me to come on the broadcast this morning. I thank Allah. I miss the voice of my brother Akbar, but I'm happy to hear the voice of my dear brother Jamil. I pray that this will be a great month of fasting and prayer and sacrifice. What can we do? I say and ask in the name of Allah, the great Mahdi, and in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if the Muslim world during Ramadan focus and stands as a united Ummah and says to Israel, you must stop. You will stop, or Allah will stop you. I warn you, Netanyahu. Your days are limited. And Israel will not be happy with the chastisement of Allah, and neither will we as believers upset when Allah's chastisement reaches our door. I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for thinking about what we are asking of you in this Ramadan. The whole idea of fasting is to expand our hearts, expand our breath, to think of those less fortunate. That's what makes us the best nation raised among men, because we enjoin good and we forbid the evil and the corruption that is in our world of Islam has to be removed and all tyrants set down. The people must have justice and truth, and they must have leadership that is not corrupted by the desire of material things, leadership that is willing to suffer with those who suffer. I pray that our Ummah will rise. Pray that we will inspire the nations of Islam, inspire Mecca to take the lead and call every nation of Islam and call them to rise and stand firm against the suffering of our fellow believing brothers and even those who are not Muslims who are suffering the pain of war, poverty, hunger. That we will do. Thank you, Allah, for giving me these words. Thank you, dear believers, for listening to your brother. Thank you for rising to pray. Thank you for rising to fast. Thank you for rising against our own personal weaknesses to stand firm on what Ramadan means. So I say it again, Ramadan Mubarak and Ramadan Kareem. Thank you, my dear Ummah. As-salam.
Assalamu alaikum. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calling the Ummah to stand strong. We will continue with tonight's representation of Islam in this closing day of the holy month of Ramadan, the wisdom, the grace, and the insight into truth from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And just bear with me, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the hereafter.
We want you to get out of that old slavery idea. If you call God by pronoun, He.
Go ahead.
You'll be a pretty cheap calling me. Him, she. You feel pretty cheap just to say spirit.
Right.
You've got to say he.
Right.
That he's not a she, nor is he some formless spirit. The Bible says on the day of judgment, you'll see God as he is.
Right.
Go ahead, Holy Apostle.
This is the day. That I can gladly say that he is a he. There is a many people not known God. And there's a many people that know God. Their white race knows God. But they can't represent God as you and me do, as they will be giving away the power to rule. They will not to rule under the teachings of reality of God. They was made to hide the reality of God.
Mm-hmm.
In order that they themselves will be worshipped.
Yes, sir.
I don't get angry with them, the way that they rule and what they teach. How in the world can they teach and turn us away from the God of reality? If they intend to rule, they got to take us away from there. Because we got the reality.
Right.
Every time you look at a black man, you're looking at God.
Right.
Maybe some of us will say, oh no, I know God and you are no God. Okay. Get your God out and show him to me.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
You say that God is a spirit. Show him to me.
Right.
You cannot show me your spirit, God. Then you say he's not to be seen. Well, then I don't want to see him if he don't want to see me. We worship that which we know.
What?
You worship that which you know not.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to hold your attention to this kind of subject. We got lots of work here to do. For 43 years, I have been teaching.
That's right.
That God is man. For 43 years, I have been teaching that one day you will wake up to know. You will wake up and agree with me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
From the looks of your numbers here today, it seems that you're waking up.
Yes, sir.
There is no intelligent man will come out of the college or out of the universities with his degrees in his hand and in his pocket and will agree to you that he learned that he had to worship spooks. Because he went to college and universities of the land to learn the truth of who is who. He didn't go there to make a fool out of himself. The professors and scholars over at the colleges and universities would look at you and laugh at you to tell them to go and worship something they don't know nothing about.
Right.
Great. Go ahead, tell them, Apostle.
And I don't blame them.
Yes, sir.
We're very happy.
Who are we?
We have with us two or three great scientists. Over to my right here.
Yes, sir.
They are great scientists visiting us.
Yes, sir.
If we had been here worshiping the space, the atmosphere for God, they would not have taken a seat over there.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, you hold it, Pastor.
So we are happy and honored to have these great scientists sitting over here to our right. We are happy.
Yes, sir.
To be honored by them.
That's right. We are.
We are glad that they are visiting us.
Yes, sir.
To know that the sun is the spiritual sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's vice versa in itself. Rising from the west.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying that I'm trying to make them look small for coming here visiting us, as we are small.
Mm-hmm.
We are those lost and now found people that the Bible been teaching us all our lives. We are those people. God has come to raise us up, to give for us a kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says it is his own good will to do so.
Yes, sir.
He taketh the kingdom from whom he pleases,
mm-hmm,
and give it to whom he pleases.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So we had no kingdom. But he's now given for us a kingdom.
Yes, sir.
This represents a kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Sit him down over there. Crown him. Put him on good shoes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Get up, brother.
Yes, sir.
And recognize your brother that was lost,
yes, sir,
and is now found.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Get up. Give him a place at home.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
He was lost, but now he's found.
Yes, sir.
He was dead, but now he's alive.
Yes, sir.
Come on in, brother.
Yes, sir.
Have a seat, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lead up.
Come on, Dad. We will follow.
Okay. Yes, sir. Put him on a crown. What?
Yes.
This is it. In the person of Master Farad Muhammad and teaching to you and me that he had such stories that is written.
Yes, sir.
Now he have found them. Now what must be done? We cannot sit down. We cannot lay down.
Yes, sir.
We must get up.
Yes, sir.
And go to work.
Yes, sir.
Praise his be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We want to think the Chicago white people for making it possible for us to obtain the country club, for making it possible for us to get in such position where we can prove ourselves worthy of that position.
Yes, sir.
We thank them. They have did us a great favor.
Yes, sir.
I don't think that we have nothing to do but to honor and thank them for putting us in such position.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Apostle.
This is their house. And we're here teaching the truth.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They're not objecting to you teaching the truth. As we have white Muslims in America. And lots of them. We have them all over the world.
Yes, sir.
And they recognize and respect you.
That's right.
Go ahead, dear.
You must recognize and respect them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Peace, dear father.
You don't disrespect people that is fine to respect you.
Yes, sir.
I remember the last time that I was out to the airport. They let me and my followers get on first.
Yes, sir.
Now I remember that.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Honor and respect.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Because he still have his flag. There's much that can be interchanged between them and us in that way of respect.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to get up to try to make fun of them just because you have learned yourself. And now you have learned them.
Yes, sir. That's right, Apostle.
Just remember.
Yes, sir.
That they show you respect after you have learned yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Apostle.
Show them respect, too.
Yes, sir.
Because when you didn't know yourself, you didn't respect self, nor anyone else.
That's right.
We used to disgrace ourselves and them too.
That's right.
Because we didn't know ourselves.
Yes, sir.
But now we respect ourselves and we respect them.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to all of
you. Yes, sir.
You'll go out there disrespecting the honor of this land. They are alone as long as they're in power.
Yes, sir.
I think you will be showing disrespect for the high honor that has been conferred on you.
Yes, sir.
And me by God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, dear Holy Father.
Yes, sir.
Respect everybody.
Yes, sir.
Everybody will respect you.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Thank you.
If God give way to them to rule, then you honor their rule.
That's right.
As long as they are in power to rule,
yes, sir.
Then respect them.
Yes, sir.
This I mean from my heart.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everywhere we go, respect people, and people will respect you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Don't think that you are so great now just because God promised you the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Wait until you get in it.
Yes, sir.
You must remember that a ruler being dishonored and dishonoring people, he is dishonoring himself.
Yes, sir.
My beloved brothers and sisters, God has how many visitors? He don't mean for us to waste our time looking to see who can we make mark of.
Yes, sir.
That's right, dear Apostle.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, dear messenger.
Looking and try and show people that if you will mark disrespect, that God did not raise us up to repeat the same.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Thank you. We must show the world,
yes, sir,
that we are a righteous people trying to sit up.
Yes, sir.
The characteristic in our people.
Yes, sir.
Of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, dear Father.
We don't want our people acting unrighteous.
Right.
That's right.
Regardless to who acted unrighteous by us, we must not do so ourselves, since we represent ourselves as being righteous people.
Right.
Yes, sir. Beautiful. Yes.
We be righteous.
Yes, sir.
If we said, there goes the devil, then don't try and practice after him if you say you are righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Show the devil that you are righteous first.
Right.
Because he's watching you for search. Since you say now you are righteous, then prove it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And if you say he's not righteous, he will say he was not his maker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
That'll stop your mouth.
Yes, sir.
He did not make himself.
That's right. Go ahead, your father.
It was our kind that made it.
Right.
So if you want to make mark of that which you have made, he could easily tell you that I am not responsible for my mate. Yes. You made me yourself.
Yes, sir.
Your kind. Let us remember these words.
Thank you, dear Holy Apostle.
There is lots that we must learn to do.
Yes, sir.
To show forth to the world who we are. We are not raised up to sit around and make mock of people. No. We are raised up to show the world what righteousness look like.
Yes, sir.
And how it feels to be righteous.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, the apostle.
Clearing a man of his past and putting him on the right road. This is a wonderful thing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
He said to Israel, I am your God.
Mm-hmm.
Israel shall bear witness.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
He says to you and I, remember my favor that I bestowed upon you.
Yes, sir.
Take a lesson from me that if I bestow upon Israel those great blessings, what you think I'm going to do for you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead, your pastor.
If I'm blessed Israel to bring her out of the bondage of Pharaoh, what you think I'm going to do for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. They
just
don't.
Yes, sir.
Take your time.
Yes, sir.
I found Israel in the waste of this wilderness, and I found you in the waste of this wilderness.
Right.
and you are my own.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We bear witness, dear Apostle. We are yours. That's right. That's right.
So, if God said, and he has said, that we belong to him.
Mm-hmm. All praises to us. He called Israel his son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Go ahead,
he said, out of Egypt.
Yes, sir.
I call my son.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. Yes, sir. Come on,
I said to Israel that if they obey me, I will lead them in a land that I will give to them.
Right. Yes, sir.
On the condition that they believe.
Right.
And obey.
Yes, sir.
But they didn't obey.
Mm.
No.
So he said, his promise can't be fulfilled because that you don't give me a chance.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, dear Apostle.
I want to fulfill my promise, Israel.
Yes, sir.
But you won't let me fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Who brought you in this place, Israel?
Yes, sir. Preach.
Who fed you, Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Where there was no grave.
Yes, sir.
Take your time, dear Holy Apostle.
I only wanted to show it for you, Israel, that I am God.
Right.
This is your home.
Yes, sir.
So today, you're on your way to become the honor and the ruler of the earth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You lay hold to that handle that will not break off with.
Yes, sir.
You must keep it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, dear Father.
You don't have to worry about the people coming to you.
Yes, sir.
They all will come to you.
Yes, sir.
As the Bible teaches you. Look and see.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
They all come to thee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
A very beautiful people.
Yes, sir.
That has been marred and spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, dear one.
But as you come into Islam, Allah will gradually restore your beauty appearance.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
You will become a beautiful nation.
Yes, sir.
Has never before lived on the earth.
Yes, sir.
If you don't like any ugly part about you, he say he will cause you to grow into a new glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Be done.
Yes, sir.
We have God with us. We have Him as our guide.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to stand around here and ask the question, what must be done?
Yes, sir.
Get up and let's go and do something.
Yes, sir.
With whatever the white folks will let us have.
Yes, sir.
We're trying to do something with it to make them feel that they didn't give it over to a bunch of lazy fellows that want to sit down and turn our face back to them, begging them to carry us right on. When you have been given a chance to go for self, go for self.
Yes, sir.
I say that the black man of North America have nobody to blame but himself. If he respects himself and do for himself, his once slave master will come and respect him and help him to do something for self.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You cannot say that they don't help you to do something for self. They're helping us to go
right.
For ourselves.
Right.
Who would want to help an old horse that don't want to do anything but lay down in the lot?
Right. That's right.
That's right. Why disgust me? Really disgust me.
Yes, sir.
Rouse him up and tell him to get up.
Yes, sir.
You can't pull the tractor, pull the plow.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe in us. Now, in this modern time, laying down on the white man looking for him to give us something to go for. He give you something when he give you freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you want.
Right.
To be free to do something for self.
Yes, sir.
Well, you got that. Don't now lay down round his doorstep asking him to help you. Go help yourself.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's right. He's taking the shackles off from you and saying, now you're free. Go for yourself. Why should you still lay there to his gate?
Ah.
Give you nothing.
Well, that's the truth.
What are you going to give you now after he let you go? Free to get for yourself. You don't need to blame him now. Blame yourself.
Yes, sir.
Earth is lost.
Yes, sir.
And that there's enough of for you to have some and for them to have some.
Yes, sir.
God wants to continue to help them to live on this earth. You get that part that he give you. And don't be worried over here. Take that which God give you, and that's that on. Go to war with no man for that of his own. No, you don't fight nobody over what is there. Just get yours and keep yours.
Yes, sir.
And let him keep his. If God give it to him, that's him and God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
God, just give me something.
Yes, sir.
Now, God have given you something.
Yes, sir.
Let us do the best we can with what he has given to us.
Yes, sir.
Take somebody's profit. Take nothing. Just take that which God have given to you and make something out of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You take nothing. You go to war with no man.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. No, you go to war with yourself.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Trying to rob people out of their arms, that's wrong.
Yes, sir.
The earth is too large.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's taking it from me. Well, that's you let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame him if you're going to let me take it. Well, that's okay.
Yes, sir.
I said to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, Allah have loosed us.
Yes, yes, sir.
All we have to do to go to work and try and make the best out of what he has given to us.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And stop looking at other people's property. Looking for them to give you theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take nothing. No, well, he's taking it from me and he's taking it from my brother. Well, if he's taking it from the end, then let the end and fight for his own.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One thing I can bear witness with the white man, the end wasn't doing nothing with it. If he will come here, taking it away from them, and build up a great country like this,
I say you ought to have been here a long time before you did change. Not that I said that, but I hate the inner for the law. No, I love the inner.
Yes, sir.
But he was not smart enough to keep his home.
Mm-hmm.
So he let a stranger take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, we are strangers too.
Mm.
We can call our own.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Over 30 million of us running from one state to the other.
Right.
Just like wild animals.
Yes, sir.
We've got to have a home.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that take whatever you can find and make you a home.
Yes, sir.
And then we must get a home. So nobody wants to give you theirs. So we must find a home.
Yes, sir.
That we can call our own.
Yes, sir.
I can't wear a crown with no country.
Right.
Ship out there at sea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ship, but it have no rudder. Therefore, it can't travel.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have a home. If God come to bless us, he must bless us with the help of giving us some of this earth.
Yes, sir.
That we can call our own.
Yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah. For the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. All that wisdom, if we but understand. We're now going to go to. We're now going to go to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the plot to exterminate blacks.
A think tank in the UK says too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
In many black communities, for every child actually born, three others are aborted, more than double the rate among whites. Some say abortion is the number one killer in the black communities.
African Americans here in this country are the only ethnic group in any place on the globe that's not replacing themselves. This is genocide.
Hillary Clinton received the Margaret Sanger Award. This is a woman who started an organization called Planned Parenthood, and that woman called black people human weeds.
An organization whose founder believed in eugenics.
The goal, to rid the country of the feeble-minded, defective.
States in the United States refusing to compensate victims who were forcibly sterilized because they were deemed unfit to reproduce.
If they could keep certain segments of the population from reproducing, that all the world's problems would disappear. And so
we have spent the past few weeks calling and emailing politicians in California, and the silence has been astonishing.
Welcome to this talk. It's called The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. This is a fact-based presentation, but it is not politically correct in the status quo halls of science and medicine because they don't want this talked about. And they especially don't want it talked about by a white scientist. And I'll give you a little bit of information about my background soon so you understand where I'm coming from and why I'm taking the steps to go public with this information. The truth is there is a concerted, organized, long-standing effort to eliminate African Americans from the human gene pool. Not just African Americans, by the way, but Africans. This is happening right now. You are being subjected to it. It's happening through multiple vectors of science, medicine, and food that I will detail here in this talk, and it's all being done covertly. So almost no one is aware of this. The entire mainstream media refuses to acknowledge this. The scientific community will say that none of this is true. And yet if you look at the facts that I'm going to share with you and the history that's undeniable, you will see there is a concerted, organized effort to eliminate blacks, i.e. African Americans. I'm going to use those terms interchangeably just for brevity here. But there is an effort to eliminate those people from the human gene pool. My background, just so you know, my name is Mike Adams. I'm known as the Health Ranger. I am a lab science director. I founded and built a world-class analytical laboratory from scratch. It is ISO accredited. It's recognized around the world for analytical science of heavy metals and food contamination, environmental contamination, and so on. We've done volunteer work, testing over 600 samples of the U.S. water supply, and we've also volunteered our lab efforts to Native American tribes who have been impacted by the EPA's poisoning of their rivers. So, by the way, it's not just blacks that are trying to be eliminated by the status quo. It's also Native Americans and other minority groups that are routinely targeted by not just the EPA, but other groups that we'll talk about here. I do want you to know that because I am an outspoken science whistleblower, that I am maliciously attacked, defamed, lied about. I am targeted for intimidation tactics. They try to silence my words. They try to make sure that you can't hear this talk. I've been death threatened. I've been stalked. I have to live a lifestyle of extreme secrecy. And I'm armed 24/7, including right now. And this is what it takes in our world today to tell the truth about science and medicine, especially when you are uncovering a mass agenda of genocide and eugenics, which is very prevalent through our systems of science and medicine today. So I do want all of you to know, all of you who are watching, and if you're sharing this with your friends and colleagues, I do want you to know that I'm putting myself at risk to say these things, especially as a credible scientist of an accredited laboratory facility, which has everything to do with the heavy metals poisoning that we're going to talk about. They absolutely don't want this information getting out. So let's start with something that we can all easily agree upon because it has been in the news everywhere, and that is the heavy metals poisoning of the predominantly black communities of Flint, Michigan. So no one says that's a conspiracy theory. Right? The water supply for millions of citizens in that region, who again were predominantly black, was allowed to be deliberately poisoned with lead, a toxic heavy metal that causes bone disorders, but more importantly, it causes a kind of brain lobotomy. It causes loss of cognitive function. It reduces IQs. It causes heart problems and many other problems. This was deliberately allowed to poison the water supply of Flint, Michigan, knowing that that water supply served minority communities. And in fact, this was so deliberate and it was so criminal that the Attorney General of Michigan has so far filed at least 43 criminal charges against predominantly scientists and bureaucrats who ran teams of scientists, water quality experts, and so on, many of whom have been charged with felony crimes. Now, water quality officials in Flint, Michigan were tasked with testing the water and making sure that it was, you know, clean or safe to drink. And yet, every time they showed lead in the water, they covered it up. They ditched that sample, they deleted it from the spreadsheet, you know, they replaced it with another sample from some other source. They committed massive scientific fraud, and they did this deliberately to cover up the fact that the African-American population of Flint, Michigan, or Detroit, greater Detroit, was being systematically poisoned. And this was going on year after year. And it could be going on now in other cities across the country. What we have found in our testing is that about 6.9% of the municipal water in America is poisoned with heavy metals. We've published those numbers at naturalsciencejournal.org in a science paper that shows you the actual data. It turns out that those areas that are most affected by these toxic heavy metals tend to be those with a predominantly larger population of African Americans. So it's the minority communities that are being impacted more so than, let's say, you know, rich white communities. Getting back to the Flint, Michigan situation, we know that they knew about this and they failed to tell people. They covered it up and they allowed it to continue. They deliberately allowed millions of children and adults, senior citizens, who were predominantly black, to be poisoned with this toxic heavy metal. Would that have happened in a rich California white community? I doubt it. I doubt it. In 2007, Chicago convened a breast cancer task force to try to figure out why so many black men and women were dying of cancer. For black women, it's mostly breast cancer. For black men, it's mostly prostate cancer. And across the cancer industry, every doctor will tell you that cancers are known to be far more severe in African-American patients than, let's say, Caucasian patients. But they don't understand why. And I'll tell you why. It's a very simple reason. It has everything to do with melanin in the skin. If you have darker skin pigmentation, it's because your ancestors came from a region closer to the equator, where sun exposure is more intense. And so the melanin in the skin is designed to block UV radiation. It's a built-in sunscreen. It's actually a feature. You know, black skin is a feature. It's a survival mechanism of those whose ancestors lived near the equator. But it blocks vitamin D production at the same time. You see, because the ancestors, all of our ancestors, were outdoors people. They spent their time outdoors. They didn't live in offices. They didn't work indoors all day long. So they had too much sun. And so the dark skin pigmentation blocked the excessive sun, and it protected them from UV radiation. Well, today, we all live indoors, don't we, for the most part? Indoor lifestyles, office jobs, even people who work in hospitals are working indoors. And when black people work indoors or live indoors, they become sunlight deficient, especially because of the melanin in their skin. So now that same feature of their skin that blocked excessive sun radiation in, let's say, Africa, now in New Jersey or New York, it's a detriment because it's causing African-American populations to become deficient in vitamin D. And this is what's happening in Chicago and Detroit, and especially the more northern latitudes of northern United States, Canada, and so on. Black men in the UK have very high rates of prostate cancer, and when they get diagnosed with prostate cancer, the prognosis is less positive than, let's say, a white person with prostate cancer. The cancers are more aggressive. They're more deadly. The answer is lack of vitamin D. And yet in 2007, the Chicago Breast Cancer Task Force convened, I think, over 100 doctors and nurses to try to have a powwow, a team effort to try to figure out why is cancer worse in black people in Chicago. And wouldn't you know it, after spending days or even weeks on this project, they couldn't come up with the truth. The truth that people with dark skin, sunlight deficient, they're vitamin D deficient, and that's why the cancer is more aggressive, because vitamin D halts cancer. And vitamin D can be purchased for a nickel a day. Every black person in Chicago, in Detroit, in New York, in the UK could prevent cancer. About 4 out of 5 cancers, by the way, with nothing but vitamin D. And yet the cancer industry won't tell them that. So here's a case where you have a disease that is disproportionately more aggressive in blacks versus whites. And white people, they absorb sunlight more efficiently when they're outdoors, so they need less time in the sun to generate the same amount of vitamin D as a black person who needs more time in the sun. And yet nobody is telling African Americans this simple truth. Nobody. This information is being denied the black community in America. And it's just, again, a very small part of the overall vector that I'm going to be continuing to reveal here that is an effort to exterminate blacks. Now let's talk about the abortion industry. I'm not going to download politics on you about whether you think abortion should be legal or illegal, or illegal in the third trimester and legal in the other two, or whatever. That's your deal. That's another day, another topic. My point is that abortion ends a life, and it ends certainly a potential life. And I say abortion ends a living human baby. Now, abortion centers are deliberately set up where predominantly black communities. Abortion messaging and abortion marketing is more aggressive toward black communities than it is white communities or non-black communities. The Planned Parenthood / abortion industry needs a steady supply of black women getting pregnant and wanting to terminate those pregnancies in order for them to be able to harvest tissue and organs from partial birth abortions, which are almost all black babies. Now, a partial birth abortion, in case you're not familiar with this, is when there's a baby that could be born and could be brought into this world, is capable of breathing and living. It's conscious. It has memories. It has sensory complexity. It has consciousness. It has feelings. And it's partially born. Let's say just the head is born. And then at that moment, the abortion center murders that baby. And then they harvest the organs. They will harvest the brain stem. They will harvest the lungs. They will harvest the kidneys. They will harvest the heart. And they, you know what they do with those tissues? Well, we're told they use them for medical research. It turns out most of those tissues are sold to vaccine manufacturers. And they use those tissues to grow biomass for vaccines that are then injected into other children. And this is openly admitted by the vaccine industry and the CDC. And on my website, Natural News, we have shown screenshots of the ingredients lists of these vaccines, such as chickenpox vaccines, varicella, uses human fetal tissue. And that human fetal tissue comes predominantly from black babies. So it's not just that the abortion centers are set up in predominantly black communities to reduce the population numbers of black children and future black adults, but it's also that those black children are having their organs harvested in order to make vaccines that are injected into other babies. There is a kind of racial medical cannibalism that is taking place in America today. And it combines the evil of the Planned Parenthood abortion industry and the vaccine industry, combines all that with an overlay of eugenics and genocide. And by the way, if you don't think that abortion is tied to a history of eugenics and genocide, you need to read the history of Margaret Sanger, one of the key founders of Planned Parenthood, who called black people human weeds, and she said that it's better to kill black babies in the womb so that they don't become adults. And I'm paraphrasing that. I don't know the exact quote, but it's something along those lines. She saw abortion as a key vector of exterminating the black population in our world, and that goal is being carried out today. And by the way, she was so effective with this narrative and with this obscene, twisted logic of genocide that the Nazis borrowed her narrative and her mindset and said, oh, that sounds like a good idea, let's apply it to the Jews. So Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, their Holocaust against the Jews was modeled after the Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger eugenics genocide model that continues today in America. There is a Holocaust in America today, and it's a Holocaust that specifically targets black Americans. And yet, there is virtually no outcry. Now, in case you're having difficulty believing any of this, let's go to the news. Let's go to what's being widely reported about medical experiments targeting African babies. All right? And you can find the article and the sources for this on naturalnews.com. Officials of Pfizer, a major drug company and vaccine manufacturer, are under arrest in Nigeria. And I'm going to read you a little bit here, and I apologize for the pronunciation here, but Judge Shehu Atiku in the city of Kano said that the Nigerian Pfizer head, Ngozi Edozien, and senior company officials from Pfizer, Lare Bale and Segun Donguro, failed to appear in court in compliance with a court order that's seeking a $2.6 billion fine from Pfizer, charging that the company illegally tested an experimental antibiotic known as Trovan on children in Kano during a meningitis outbreak in 1996. So you see, they use disease to test new drugs. And by the way, you'll find out the industry is spreading the disease in order to push the vaccines, and they always use Africans for their experiments. It's across the board. Well, I'll give you more examples. This illegal experiment on African children led to the deaths of 11 children, and dozens of other children experienced severe harm. Now, that shouldn't surprise anyone because it rings true with the history of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments. Those experiments conducted in the United States with the approval of U.S. health authorities and government authorities was begun in 1932, and there were over 600 volunteers who were exploited by the medical system. These were black men predominantly. They were exploited by the system. They were told they were going to receive phenomenal care, that they were going to get extra money, that they were going to be treated well. Instead, they were denied treatment so that the medical establishment, again, these are scientists, so that they could observe the progression of this disease as black men suffered and died. And this wasn't in Africa, this was on U.S. soil. This was in the 1930s. And this is one where they got caught, because there have been dozens of other examples of this kind of medical experimentation in the United States, which usually targets black people, black prisoners in particular. We could talk about the prison industry and how it's a business. That's another topic. But once they get people into that prison system, they then use them for medical experiments, and they have done so routinely throughout American history. And if you think that the American government has gone out of its way to protect blacks in America, you need to go back and reread your history. The FBI wrote a letter encouraging Martin Luther King Jr. to commit suicide. The FBI ran violent raids on black civil rights groups throughout the 1960s and 70s. And to this day, the FBI runs domestic terrorism operations that they call sting operations, where the FBI sets up the plan, the FBI gets the fake bombs, the FBI acquires the vehicle, whatever the agenda calls for. They'll go after you. And in science and medicine, they're going after you right now. So let's continue. Let me give you more evidence, because I want you to judge this on the evidence. Now, And just a quick side note, you notice how the recent Ebola outbreak, well, a couple years ago, happened in Africa. Now, I don't have proof of this, but there are many in the industry of the immunization industry, vaccine industry, holistic medicine industries who believe that those strains of Ebola were weaponized and were allowed to escape in certain African nations in order to assess the epidemiological impact and to test new drugs, and also as a false flag to push more funding for Ebola vaccines in the United States. And that nurse that was brought to Texas was allowed to come in and was allowed to spread Ebola to another person in Texas, which is what happened, so that they could call for more vaccines. They create a panic. They create the outbreak, and then they push billions of dollars of funding for more vaccines. In Africa, there are groups that provide vaccines to young African women. And these vaccines are often disguised as tetanus shots. And this is done usually in conjunction with UNICEF, you know, the global group, UNICEF, and also Kiwanis International, which is supposed to be, you know, a community group across the United States and elsewhere. They have a project that they've used to give tetanus vaccines to black women in Africa. The name of this project, and I kid you not, I'm not making this up, the name of the project is the Eliminate Project. The Eliminate Project. What are they eliminating? Turns out that various Catholic mission groups that are pro-vaccine and that have been administering these vaccines to young women across Africa sent some of these vaccines to laboratories for analysis of their composition. And there, they were shocked to find that a very high percentage of these vaccines are being laced with covert sterilization chemicals. This is a fact. This is openly admitted. This, in fact, they blew the whistle on this. They went public with it. The U.S. media didn't report this. But outside the U.S., this is widely reported. In fact, we've covered it on Natural News. The Catholic bishops in Kenya, they actually urged the Kenyan Ministry of Health to block vaccines from UNICEF and the World Health Organization, because the World Health Organization approves of these covert sterilization vaccines. Isn't that interesting? Now, where are these vaccines given? Are they given in Boulder, Colorado, which is predominantly white? No. No such covert sterilization chemicals in Boulder, Colorado. Are these vaccines found in Salt Lake City, Utah? Are they trying to eliminate Mormons? No. No such covert sterilization chemicals in Salt Lake City, Utah. Where are they found? They're found in vaccines given to young women in Mexico, Nicaragua, the Philippines, and Africa. So the covert sterilization chemicals just happen to show up in countries with either black people or brown people, and these vaccines are all approved by the World Health Organization and other such groups that operate at the global level. Isn't that interesting? Do you think that's coincidence? Because I challenge you. If you think that's coconcidence, you're not connecting the dots. A few years ago in the United States, a top scientist for the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, the vaccine-pushing group in the government, top scientist named Dr. William Thompson, went public through a legal firm, posted an admission of guilt, said that he and his colleagues, while working at the CDC, had taken part in a massive scientific fraud, a cover-up, where they found a 340% higher risk of autism in young African-American boys under the age of 3 who were given these vaccines versus non-black children.
However,
a 340% increased risk of autism. Now, those of you who are watching this, if you're part of the black community, you know autism is an epidemic across black communities in America today, right? You know that. How many young, and they're mostly boys, aren't they? Mostly boys. How many young black boys have had their brains permanently damaged by the vaccine industry with the knowledge of the CDC, the knowledge that they are harming disproportionately black children, but not so many white children. Now, there are white children who are autistic, but the numbers for black children are disproportionately much higher, 340% higher. Now, the CDC knew about this. They had this information. They knew the results, and they chose to cover it up, and one of their scientists went public with it, blew the whistle. Now, the entire mainstream media in America, NPR, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, everybody, they all covered it up. They all blacklisted the news. They decided not to report this altogether, which shows you, by the way, that they have no journalism. They are fake news. They don't do real investigations. They chose not to cover this. Actually, I happen to know they were ordered not to cover this. The CDC issues orders to the media, by the way. They order the media when to spread panic about outbreaks. They order the media when to not say something about dangers of vaccines. The CDC is a criminal operation. And just as a quick side note, a Democrat, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has now called for the extradition of a CDC vaccine science fraud artist who fled the country with millions of dollars in taxpayer money and has been hiding out in Europe. And his name is Paul Thorsen. And he worked with the CDC to fabricate fake vaccine safety studies. And he's a fugitive from justice. The CDC is a criminal organization. So they covered this up, knowing that it damaged black babies 340% more than white babies. Are you still telling me this is all coincidence? Really? What causes the damage in black children? Turns out that there are genetic differences between babies who come from predominantly African ancestry versus those of more European ancestry, and that those genetic differences offer various expressions of predisposition to clearing mercury from your body. And so many of these black babies, they can't clear mercury out as quickly as the white babies. And when they're all injected with mercury, which is what happens because thimerosal is a mercury preservative still used in vaccines given to pregnant women in America and given to children in America, the white babies can clear out the mercury very quickly and they suffer little or no damage most of the time. The black babies, the mercury continues to circulate in their bodies and brains for days or weeks, sometimes months. And they can be permanently harmed and brain damaged, and they can be made autistic, and it is happening every day in America. And the vaccine industry went to Congress several years ago and got absolute legal immunity granted to their entire industry for any vaccine listed on the childhood immunization schedule. So if you're a black mother, a black father, your child, perfectly healthy, normal, has a great future, and that child, let's say they're 2 years old, you take them in to get vaccinated because the doctor told you to vaccinate your children, right? You get that child vaccinated, sometimes 48 hours later, boom, that child's brain damaged for life, autistic for life. And you can't sue the manufacturer for their faulty product because Congress conspired with the vaccine companies to grant them all legal immunity. You can't even take your case to court. The U.S. Supreme Court already ruled on that. You can't take your case to a regular court. You have to go to a secret vaccine court run by the vaccine industry that denies almost all claims. And even then, by the way, even though they deny almost all claims, the vaccine court has paid out over $3 billion to victims of vaccine damage that were proven to have been damaged by vaccines. If the truth about this came out, and if families of autistic children, especially in the black community, were able to really take their cases to court and seek justice through the legal system, it would bankrupt the entire pharmaceutical industry, which is what should happen, by the way. The vaccine industry specifically allows damage to happen to black babies. And that's if they survive abortion. You know how hard it is to be conceived as a black child and make it through gestation and be born alive and not be murdered, and then to make it through the vaccines and then to make it through the psychiatric medicine and everything else? It's incredibly difficult just to survive. And that is on purpose, because the science and medical establishments are working deliberately to exterminate black people from this planet, to wipe you out from human civilization. They're doing it. It's happening right now. Now, continuing with the vaccine agenda to exterminate blacks from the world, you need to know something about polio and polio vaccines. There are two ways you can get polio. One is to catch it from a wild circulating polio virus. Second way is to get it from a polio vaccine. It's a well-known phenomenon. It's called vaccine-induced polio. Now, when they inject children with polio or they do nasal vaccines or other forms of vaccines, not all the vaccines are fully attenuated, which means weakened. They're not all fully weakened. Some of them have live viruses. So sometimes when they're giving vaccines to children in large numbers, some small percentage of those children are going to be infected with the disease, with polio. It's called vaccine-induced polio. Now, recently, 355 children were vaccinated in Syria, Middle Eastern country, right? 355,000 children vaccinated against polio. Why were they vaccinated? Because there was a polio outbreak. What caused the polio outbreak? Polio vaccine. This was a vaccine-induced polio outbreak that was then treated with more vaccines. Now, 355,000 children were then injected. If 1 out of 1,000 children it catches polio from a polio vaccine, then didn't they just create 355 more children with polio? Yes, they did. And that will be reported as an outbreak, and someone will call for the World Health Organization or UNICEF to come in and vaccinate, you know, a million children, whatever it takes. You see, the vaccines are the continuation of the disease that they claim to stop. Now, if you understand epidemiology, statistics, science, and medicine, it is true that in a population, let's say you have a million children, and let's say polio is endemic, let's say half the children in the country have polio. In that case, because the infection rate is so high, a polio vaccine can drastically bring down that infection rate and save far more lives than it would terminate because the rate of infection is so high. But that same vaccine, when the rate of infection is very low, if you give that vaccine to large numbers of children, hundreds of thousands or millions, you will create more disease than you halt. The same vaccine. It all has to do with how many children are currently infected versus how many you're actually vaccinating. If you vaccinate a lot of children who are not infected, you're going to cause infections, you're going to cause outbreaks. And this is what is used in Africa. This is what is used across the world to keep the disease process going so they can keep manufacturing vaccines, which are, remember, made from aborted black babies. We're talking human fetal cell tissue. They take it from the babies. They take it from the abortions. Planned Parenthood sells it to these companies. And they put it in large vats and they inoculate it with viral strains and they grow and fester a large amount of biomass of disease material. And then they homogenize that with tissue homogenizers. They filter that. They put it into vaccine vials with other ingredients that are toxic like aluminum or squalene or mercury. And then they inject that into other kids. We are living in a world, people, wake up and understand this. We are living in a world where they are murdering and grinding up black babies to feed them to other babies. This is like the Matrix. This is medical cannibalism. It's actually happening every day. Many of these vaccines are made from human fetal tissue that's harvested from aborted black babies. And you know what? A lot of the doctors don't even know it. A lot of the pharmacists don't even know it because they've never read the ingredients of a vaccine. They don't even know. All you got to do is go to the CDC, read the ingredients, FDA website. It's all right there. It's all out in the open. But no one wants to believe it because it's too horrifying. It's too evil. A recent study funded by the CDC, literally run by the CDC, using CDC money and CDC scientists, found that vaccines cause spontaneous abortions. So they're pushing vaccines onto pregnant women, right? You've heard that recently? All pregnant women are encouraged to go out and get multiple vaccines, which never was taught in medicine until the last 20 years. Before that, doctors were told, no, you never vaccinate a pregnant woman. That could harm the child. know, the unborn baby. Now they're like, oh, you're pregnant? Get shot up with vaccines. Take antidepressant drugs. Take chemotherapy. Just poison the crap out of your body. Don't worry. It doesn't affect the baby. But it does. Because these medical liars are genocidal, homicidal maniacs. They're deceiving you. They're lying to you. They know that vaccines cause spontaneous abortions. It's just been admitted by the CDC. Now, we've covered this study on naturalnews.com. I want you to go there, and I want you to read it, and I want you to, we link directly to the journal, and I think the journal is Vaccines, by the way, where this study was published. You can read it yourself. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's openly admitted by the CDC. Vaccines cause spontaneous abortions. One more population control mechanism. Oh, by the way, speaking of population control, let me give you a couple of websites before I get to the last and most shocking point in all of this. We've got three websites that you can check out where you can learn more about this every day. Okay, depopulation.news, genocide.news, and eugenics.news. These are all .news domains. But again, depopulation, genocide, and eugenics, all .news. Go there. There's going to be some overlap of articles there, but your eyes will be opened. You will come to see the truth about what's actually happening. And if you are black or African American and you're listening to this, you need to know the truth about how you are being targeted for extermination. You and your children and your grandchildren and your parents, you are all being targeted for extermination. Now, to some extent, we are all being targeted in different ways because there is a depopulation agenda that wants to reduce the entire global population to about 1 billion people. But it seems from observing the way they're doing this, they sure do want to get rid of black people first. And they're actively doing it. It's happening right now. It's right under your nose. Most people have no clue that it's going on. And you've got Black Lives Matter out there marching for social justice, completely oblivious to everything I've just said. Where does Black Lives Matter talking about the abortion industry or the vaccine industry or the psychiatric medication of young black kids or the autism epidemic or the use of black children for medical experiments? Black Lives Matter doesn't touch any of those things. They might bash some heads at some speech that they don't like. Maybe take down a couple of Nazis or some white supremacists. You know, bash some white hoods out there. They might have a little bit of success at that, but guess what? You're still being exterminated because it's in the food, it's in the medicine. The scientific community is working to exterminate you. Hey, your enemy is not even the Nazis and the white supremacists. It's the scientists. It's the pharmacology evildoers. It's the drug companies. It's the vaccine companies. It's the abortion providers. That's who's killing you. All right, in 1969, New York Times ran an article authored by Gladwin Hill. That's his name, Gladwin Hill. He's the author. You can look this up. The article is entitled, "A Sterility Drug in Food is Hinted." The article cited a scientist named Paul Ehrlich, who's a depopulation advocate, as well as the chief science advisor for then-President Richard Nixon. And his name, the science advisor, is, let's see, Dr. Lee DuBridge, and he said, quote, listen to this quote very carefully. He said, quote, "Population control should be the prime task of every government." Here's how they were going to accomplish this. This is all in the New York Times in 1969. I've reprinted the article in naturalnews.com. If you want to see this, you can read it for yourself. You can convince yourself. I'm not making this up. This is all on the record, okay? He said, quote, "The addition of a temporary sterilant to staple foods or to the water supply would be the way to achieve mandatory infertility." Did you catch that? In 1969, they called for secretly inserting sterilization chemicals into the food supply and the water supply to depopulate the planet. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's in the New York Times, 1969. Same year we landed a man on the moon, right? Advanced technology. What do they want to do with it? They want to exterminate blacks with it. Now, Notice they called for adding this covert sterilization chemical to the food supply and the water supply. Well, what has happened since then? Lead poisoning in Flint, Michigan. It's a damaging chemical in the water supply, isn't it? It's right out of the playbook from 1969. This is part of the plan. And that's just one time they got caught. What about the tetanus vaccines in Africa that were found to be contaminated with a sterilization chemical? Same thing. They were going to hide it in the food and the water. Now they're putting it in the vaccines. It's all consistent. Oh, and by the way, that chemical that they found in the vaccines called beta-BCG. Beta-BCG. Let me describe this to you, all right? Beta-BCG causes the female body to have an immune system response that builds antibodies that destroy her own fetus if she gets pregnant. Do you realize that through this chemical that they secretly insert into the vaccines, they can cause a black woman's body to turn against itself and to murder its own baby in absolute violation of natural law and biblical principles and medical morality and everything else? And they were putting this sterilization chemical into these vaccines without the informed consent of the women who were being sterilized. This is evil medicine. This is evil science. This is genocide in the name of vaccines for public safety, right? That's what they tell you. Oh, this is all for public safety? While they're making an African woman's body murder her own baby before it can be born, and they don't tell her about it? That's medicine? That's public safety? That's a holocaust. It's a holocaust against blacks across our planet. Now you see why I have to speak this truth? You see why? Wasn't it Edmund Burke who said, all that's necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing, right? I'm not going to stand here and be silent. I'm not going to stand here and be intimidated. Those people out there, you know, they can slander and they can defame me all they want, all day and night. Call me anything. Fake news, lies, fake accusations. The truth is that you people are genocidal maniacs trying to kill black babies and turn black women against their own babies. You're trying to turn a woman's womb into a murder system through the use of covert sterilization chemicals. That is a scientific and medical fact. And that's why I'm standing here today, to speak this truth, to put it on the record, so that no one can hide from this fact, that this genocide is taking place right now, today. It's not 1932 Tuskegee experiment anymore. It's more advanced now. It's not just one vector killing black people. It's five or six different vectors. It's in the food. It's in the vaccines. It's in the medicine. It's in the psychiatric drugs. Oh, and let's get to the food, because this is the final chapter of this that will absolutely shock you. Now, you're hopefully aware of genetic engineering of the food supply, right? They're called GMOs, or genetically modified organisms. This is an advanced science technique to alter the DNA of food crops in order to build in certain traits and physical properties or even chemical properties that the scientists want to put into the food. Now, I'm going to explain to you how your food is now being weaponized as an extermination vector to eliminate black lives. All right. Now, I'm a food scientist. I'm the author of Food Forensics. It achieved the number one best-selling science book on Amazon.com. I'm the co-author of science papers that have been published in mainstream science journals. I'm not just a casual layperson when it comes to food science. I run a mass spec laboratory that's ISO accredited, validated, audited, inspected, passed many, many tests. Our data can be used in a court of law anywhere around the world. We do food analysis. We can search for complex molecules such as pesticides or elements such as mercury or cadmium. So I run the lab. I am the lab science director. I know a thing or two about food science. Now, what they have invented, when I say they, I'm talking about the genetic engineers, not only have they found a way to put these genetically engineered traits into food crops, they've now found a way to cause food crops to grow RNA fragments that can be specifically targeted like bioweapons to interfere with the physiological processes of targeted species that might eat the food. Now, this technology is called RNA interference technology. It's relatively new compared to GMOs, relatively new. It's being touted now as a technology to eliminate the use of pesticides, because what they're saying is they can cause a corn crop to grow RNA fragments that will kill the insects that eat the corn without having to use pesticides like toxic chemicals that overload the insect nervous system and kill it from a nervous system breakdown and so on. This RNA interference technology is a pesticide technology, but it doesn't rely on pesticide chemicals. It relies on RNA fragments in the food. Now, what's disturbing about this is that this technology can be fine-tuned to target a specific race of humans who eat the food. I want you to follow me very carefully on this, because most people have never heard of this before. They've never heard of this technology. They don't know it can be targeted by race. Food crops can be engineered right now based on existing technology to cause infertility in black people alone. That technology is a reality. It's widely covered out there in the mainstream media, in the science media. RNA interference technology is widely covered. And they openly talk about how it can be used to target specific physiological processes of certain insect species. They can interfere with DNA repair or protein synthesis in insects. They can interfere with fertility or reproduction. They can interfere with mobility, a nervous system interaction with the musculoskeletal system, or depending on what animal we're talking about, other systems, endoskeleton systems. I ask you, does that technology exist? The answer is yes. It absolutely exists right now. Are they using that technology? I ask you, do a little bit of research, look at the plummeting sperm production in black men. Sperm production is plummeting in black men. Sperm production is precisely the kind of physiological process that can be targeted by RNA interference technology. Now, is that proof that the food crops are being engineered to cause sperm production to plummet in black men? No, it's not proof. But when you connect the dots of all the other things that are being done covertly, this becomes something very likely in the realm of possibility. It would take a lot of advanced testing to find this out. And guess who controls the funding? Guess who controls nearly all the science funding in America today? The federal government. The same government that allows the CDC to cover up the truth about vaccines and black children. The same government that funds Planned Parenthood abortions of black babies. The same government that covers up the EPA-induced contamination of waterways affecting Native Americans and other populations, including the Flint, Michigan, predominantly black population. This government, same government that runs the FBI, that won Martin Luther King Jr. to commit suicide. It's the same government. The government is at war with you. If you're black and you're watching this, the government is at war with you, and they want you exterminated, and they control the science funding, which means there will never be money for any genetic science of the food supply to uncover this truth if it were there. It would be covered up like everything else has been covered up this entire time. Just like the Tuskegee experiments covered things up in the 1930s. Nothing has changed, except the technology is more advanced. The covert technology is more covert. The number of vectors through which they can kill you and cause you to have no children, cause you to have spontaneous abortions, the number of vectors is increasing. You are being targeted. And like I said earlier, to some extent, we're all being targeted. But black people are being targeted more than anyone else. So what do we do with all this information? What do we do? Do you take to the streets and bash heads? No. It doesn't get you anywhere. The problem is the consolidation of power in the institutions of science and medicine. The problem is that science has been taken over by globalist agendas and depopulation agendas and government funding. The problem is that we don't have a decentralization of science. The problem is, if you will allow me to even invoke this terminology, the problem is that we are all slaves to science tyranny as it is being operated today. We're all slaves. We're living under a science dictatorship that refuses to tell us the truth and yet targets our brothers and sisters, our children, our grandchildren with extermination agendas through medicine, through food, like everything we've talked about. That's the problem. We need independent science. We need decentralization. We need more labs like my lab that I operate independently. We don't take any government money. That's why I can tell you this truth. You think if I were on the payroll of some big corporation that used government money, do you think I could stand here and tell you this truth? No way. Not a chance. It would yank your funding so fast, cover it up, sweep it under the rug. I can only stand here today because I have no financial ties to the system that's murdering all of you. Nor will I ever have financial ties to that system. I refuse to take money from satanic forces. I refuse to take money from murderous regimes. And that's what the United States government is today. It is a murderous regime, and it has been that way under President Obama, President Bush. It's beyond any single president. It has nothing to do with Trump. It's the bureaucracy, the momentum of genocide that is endemic in the culture of the CDC, in the culture of the FDA, in the culture of the EPA, that is beyond the reach of any one candidate or any one politician. And it has persisted for generations, and it continues to persist. And it will continue to target you and murder you and cause you disease and cause you brain damage and cause your children autism until the day comes that we, the people, decide to stand up and take back our liberty from this murderous regime that commits murder and genocide in the name of science and medicine. And that is what we must do. I don't think it's a goal that can be achieved through violence. And I don't call for violence because that is being inflicted against us in far too many ways. It must start with awareness. And so the only thing I ask of you watching this, listening to this, even if you don't believe every chapter of the talk here, maybe you find some of them hard to believe so far. The only thing I ask of you is share this information. Share this video. Share this talk. Have a public viewing in a church. Maybe you've got a black church somewhere. Invite your congregation to watch this if you dare. If you want to know the truth about this from a scientist, an independent scientist who sees what's happening and refuses to be silent and refuses to be exploited by the evil that exists in our world, the murderous evil in the name of science, stealing life away from black families and black mothers and pursuing a goal of global extermination through medicine and science. We cannot stand for it. We must change our future together. And we're not going to do that, by the way, by fighting with each other over skin color or race. Do not let the system divide us, because the system is actually murdering us, but they're trying to keep us distracted. In the meantime, they want black and white to fight against each other in the streets, don't they? You better believe they do. They want you to not trust each other because they are the murderers. They, the system, they're murdering us all to one extent or another, but they want us to be too busy bashing each other over the head with baseball bats to pay attention to the real murder that's taking place on the bigger scale, the global scale of murder and genocide. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. Do not fall into the depths of racial hate for anyone. Don't hate someone because of their skin color or their background, religion, sexual orientation, anything. Understand that it's we, the people, versus the system of murder and genocide, the scientific dictatorship that has in one way or another targeted us all. So we, the people, must stand together, unified, regardless of our race, unified with the knowledge and awareness that we have a right to live. And we have the right to have families. And we have the right to know the truth. And until that truth is acknowledged, we cannot be free. You can break physical chains from old slave plantation days, and you can have physical freedom, but now we have a new kind of enslavement. We are all chemical slaves to the covert sterilization. We are victims of these systems. We, all of us, black and white, all of us. So spread the word, share this video, have the courage to tell the truth, and I will continue to do so as well. Because I answer to a higher power. And I know that one day I'm going to be judged for my actions, for what I said or what I didn't say, if I covered something up, which I refuse to do. We are going to be judged, and I refuse to go through this life knowing this dark secret and not sounding the alarm to those who need to know it the most. That's all that matters to me. That's why I'm doing this. So I thank you for listening and watching. I thank you for your time. Share this message far and wide, and continue to watch naturalnews.com, where I will bring you more on this topic and similar topics in the years ahead. I will continue to fight for humanity with every breath. To my last day, I will fight for humanity, and that means black people and everybody else. We are not separate. We are not at war with each other. The establishment is at war with us, regardless of our color. So understand that truth, and thank you for your time. Take care.
This is not so mad.
I think Tank in the UK says too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
In many black communities, for every...
Sorry about that. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We are not done. We are not done. We have plenty of air time left, and we're going to get right to it with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad once again. The judgment is now.
Greetings to you. I'm Elijah Muhammad, the preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to you, my poor black people, who has been lost in the wilderness of North America for the last 400 or more years. You, my dear beloved brothers and sisters that is listening to my voice on this album, I would that you pay good attention to it. Our subject is the judgment. Judgment has been taught, and we have been warned that it is a day coming that we all will be judged. And whosoever Allah have mercy upon, that person have a great reward bestowed upon him. Because we live in a world guided by the open enemy, the devil himself. Therefore, being lost from our own people, wherein there was no one to teach us, no one to help us, all teachers was prevented from teaching us a very pitiful condition our fathers fell in when captured by our enemies, the open devil, in our native land. Through deceit, here we are today on trial before the God who will judge us all. Who will this God be? Best Son of Man, both Bible and Holy Quran declares he will be a man, a son from a man, Son of Man. Not a formless spirit that the scientists, scholars of religion have given this name to that judge on that day, the day of judgment in which we now live, will be a man. For only a man can judge rightly between man and man, because their nature is alike. Anything other than a man cannot judge our affairs, nor guide us in the right way that we will be successful. It's got to be a man. That's when is the day of resurrection. This is the day of resurrection. You're living in it. When is the doom coming? When will be its taking place? Don't hurry for that day, because you are living in it now. The days of the judgment of God upon the wicked and the correction and separating the righteous from the wicked, according to many of the scholars on this subject, would be something like near 20 years. That time would be between 1380 and 1400 of the Arab calendar, and of their scientists, which knows more about scripture than the Christian could ever dream of. We now are living near these days, the dreadful days of judgment, the end of the judgment, the end of those years now approaches us. We cannot say to you that which we do not know. This time will prove us liars. God have said to me that the time has long passed due for the executing of the wicked, the enemies, who have misled the whole world of black men, except about 10% of them. So he taught me, night and day in person, for 3 whole long years, and about 4 or 5 months. And he still guides me. He still speaks to me whenever he pleases, right directly the voice come to my ear from his mouth, like listen to a word from you whenever he pleases. He have taught me so many signs and so many ways that he can guide me, not by word alone, and not by seeing him in person, but just by hints. And I have learned those hints of various things. The judgment is coming. No, it's not coming, it's here. Why should we have a judgment? Why should people be judged? It is because of an act of an evil one that did not love truth and righteousness. and wanted to make a complete people who also did not or would not love truth and righteousness and justice.
You know what?
That they may mislead us in the way of righteousness. In this way, turning the whole nation of the earth, the Aboriginal people, the black man, into following them, believing in them and their falsehood, he would be able to carry down at the day of resurrection, day of judgment, voiced everyone that did not have the knowledge of him. Or them, as I should say. For they are a whole race of people. This people that I am referring to is none other than the white race. They have rule according to their God, Yahshua, who gave them the knowledge, who made them and taught them how to rule us for the past 6,000 years. This has been done, and they brought us up without the knowledge of ourselves, making us a prey to them in the day of judgment in which we now live. Who will judge this Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man, you may question? He is a man that the Almighty God of the black man's nation made for the purpose of being the judge today. He's called and is known as the Son of Man. This makes it clear to you from both scripture books, that is the Bible and Quran, that you don't expect anything but a man to sit judge over the nations of the earth on the day of judgment. As the 28th verse of the chapter 45 of the Holy Quran, it reads something like this: and thou wilt see every nation kneeling down, every nation will be called to its reckoning. Now, the 29th verse says, this is our record that speaks against you with truth. Surely we wrote what you did. This is the voice of the Son of Man and the judgment. Watched over us. And every action that we taken was written, whether it was good or bad. The evil opponent, the devil in person, an open enemy of ours, deceiving us all these centuries and thousands of years, today puts on one of the greatest shows that ever was put on by man, to get us to go to hell with him. Temptation. He knows the nature of us. That men always have that nature to want to do. This he laid hold on up until this very minute, he's trying to use his woman, his sons, and daughters to tempt the black man in America and throughout the world of man. They are in Africa, Asia, trying to tempt the black man to accept their woman and their sons. Take them. Don't have to marry them. Do what you please with them. Just so long as you commit the act with them, this is all we want to do. They don't love you any more today than they loved you 100 or 1,000 years ago. What the act is to bring you and this favor and this light to your God, your salvation, and your people of your kind. This is what's going on today. We know what he's trying to do, and you should know, my foolish brother, who is now being tempted by them. They don't want you for nothing but their doom. To hell with them. Because of what? Because you have a good chance, a free chance to go to heaven, to see the hereafter. But they don't have it. They were not made to go to heaven. They was made for fuel for the fire of hell. There are a people that come in a vacuum between our calendar history of 9,000 years to 15,000 years. This people, their maker, the God Yaku, a black original man, he told them to go and deceive all you can. For 6,000 years. And after 6,000 years, your brother from the east will come and eat you up, meaning destroy them. You have this in the Revelation, where that the prophet there prophesied of this coming out of the east, and that they laid hold on the dragon, the white race, and cast them into a burning lake of fire. The contents of North America is that lake. The judgment. Oh, the judgment, that dreadful day. It is here. It is not to come. Hundreds and thousands of signs have the prophet set before this day. I do not have time and space here to go over signs. For you in them now. You see and you read how everything was foretold that is happening today. You say you don't believe that this is the judgment? Tell me, Mr. miss. It's a miss. Have you ever seen a time like this before? Have you ever seen the clouds, the rain, the snow, the wind going, look like out of the very law of the nature in which they were made? To send rain down from the cloud to the earth. This rain has become an evil thing now. To send wind to satisfy the poor man who is lying in the dust. Cool him off from the fiery heat. But this wind has become an evil wind. She's blowing, but it's destroying their lives and the property of the people that's in its path. Have you ever heard tell of such storms destroying the property and lives of human beings in America? A country who claimed that it follows Jesus. A country that people claim that they are better than anybody else. Oh, what the day. I could repeat with that old scientist. Then the Bible, he said, oh, what the day. The weight of the day is only woe. I bear him witness. A dreadful day. A day in which the anger of the Lord is kindled against the wicked and against all that do wickedly and against the proud who thinks that they are too proud, too wealthy, have too much to look forward for other than bowing to God. But both Bible and Holy Quran say everyone will bow before the Son of Man. Every human being on the earth must submit on this day that there is a God over him. We are not made or created without an aim or purpose. So says the Holy Quran. And this is true. The very nature of us warns us against evil, especially the black man. The black man's nature makes him to tremble in fear at times when he knows that he's far off the path of righteousness. Because that's his nature. He was born, he was created righteous, and has been misled and pull off the path, the right path. Therefore now, on opening his eyes by the powerful God of the universe, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises is due, who has taught me all that I know, who protects me in going out and coming in, who has promised me a place near him on the final end. Should I not be happy and most anxious to teach you and preach to you of the woes and the destruction in which he held made known to me that he will do in this day and time. We're living in it. Woe to America, she's in trouble. She is in trouble. She has angered the God of gods, Almighty Allah. He intends to bring her to her knees. He has the power to do it. Many nations before you thought that they was able to stand and contend with God and fight him with his own weapons, according to the Holy Quran. He destroyed them, buried them under the sands of Arabia, Egypt, Africa, and other eastern lands. Until today, you will have to go and dig. Dig and dig to find the marks of their civilization. They are there. According to the Holy Quran and according to our own scientists today who have went and dug, digged up the earth and made it clear that they found buildings down under their sands, brought them to light. Some of them is unearthing themselves. The wicked white race have been continuously to do evil and lead the black man into filth and evil. They are today, while they are in judgment, they are trying their utmost night and day, every hour, 24 hours, to get you to yield to evil and filth. Some of them here and there is against it. They're now speaking out against the evil done of themselves. But they are absolutely made of evil. They are not people that have some good in them and evil have dominated. No, they was not made with good as Jesus tells and teaches you and me. And John the 8th and 44th, they was created a liar and a murderer. The liar could only stand so long as the light of truth did not make its appearance. But in this dreadful day, there can be no judgment unless truth is told. How well did Jesus describe this day and time in his parable of a sower who went out and sown his field with good seeds. But while he slept at night, an evil enemy came and sowed tares among his wheat. Next morning, the day of judgment, the nearing of judgment, the discovery of what the enemy has done to the people, sown in the hearts of the righteous evil, and now they are practicing evil and must be judged according to their works. a dreadful day. Full great judgments is now working on America. Storms, wind, rain, hail, snow. How much of this is yet to come until that you are totally helpless? Pile snow upon your country from the north. As your Bible teaches you in Job, he have saved this snow and ice for the day of battle and war. It's going on. There is plenty of snow in the north, plenty ice in the north to be hurled down upon poor America, who has no defense against such calamity. At the same time, in the tropical regions, rising up and brewing storms in the Caribbean area, some say Caribbean, moving them northward and northwestward to strike the shores of America, destroy her homes, destroy the lives of her cattle, destroy her people. They're moving in America now while I'm talking. Oh, woe to America. Woe to America. She will not heed to the voice of righteousness. Not even from her own people. There are some of them who wishes to go right. They are out there trying to condemn those among them who refuses to listen to the truth. These white people, God will give them some mercy and will delay their time, their doom, to some future years yet to come. But here is that man with nine, he gets him one, that want to carry out the evil against the righteous. When will that day come, they keep asking? Maybe you don't have to ask that question. When the judgment will come, it's already here. Just go to looking and see what's going on. And then stop and listen. You will bear Elijah witness that we're in it now. Great separation must take place. I have been pleading to you, black brother and sisters, on the last page of our paper, the Muhammad Speak, that we should be separated from a heartless enemy and given some place, even if he was here, to ourselves. He don't want you to go free for yourself. No, he want to beat and kill you. He want to deceive you so that you can taste his doom with him yourself. While you have a chance, God has forgiven us before ever that we was born. There, symbolic vision of the dry bone of Ezekiel, valley of dry bone, is none other than you. And this lesson teaches you that God did give them life. And they did believe. They bowed to him and believed. The Holy Quran and Bible both teaches that he will force us to believe, since that we are his. We are the people of the righteous. But you have been so foolishly falling after evil now become lovers of evil and haters of good, like the enemy who is misleading you. I say, my friend, that you are weak, do as the Holy Quran teaches us, the Muslim. If you see something that is going to tempt you, cast your eyes in another direction. How can you love a people and go marry them, take them for husbands and wives, while they have killed your fathers and your people all the day long, ever since that they landed on the shore of this country? Why don't you think something like love and respect for yourself and your kind? If they had been treated by you like that, they would not even speak to you only with fire. And I steal. They would not speak to you. But only thing they want to do is to kill you for mistreating their parents. And still is chasing their sons and daughters over the land to destroy them. It is awful, my friend. Great day. The judgment. He's so wise and powerful. He makes everything of the creation to bear him witness that this is the day of judgment. And then makes you and me bear witness. This is the day of judgment. And the judge is sitting, able, wise, knows us, and writes down what we do and say. Sit and judge over the nations of the earth, having the power over their thoughts, making them to now fight each other, turning them insane. You see it going on? So that they cannot agree, breaking them up with confusion. Read your Bible, it's there. Prophesy. The great and terrible day of God is come. And as it is written in the revelation of John in the last book of your Bible, who will be able to stand? I say, my friend, there's none that can stand in this time that we now are in, suffering the lashes of nature. All nature now has been turned against America's to war against her and destroy her. Insect. Everything is armed for the destruction of America. Her wealth, her money, as the James teaches you there on the fourth or fifth chapter, warns the rich man going weak and howl for the miseries that is coming upon. You have done injustice to the poor, the so-called American Negro. You have laid up his hair, his wages. You have put them up, buried them in mountains, sent them out of the country to another friend of yours, storing it up to pay off the enemies of yours when they come against you. They don't accept your pay today. They have wealth. They don't want yours. No way can you pay off your doom. It is set, bound to come to pass. Poor America, as one writer says, woe to the land that is shattered with wings. It is America's full of planes soaring the skies over her country. But woe unto her the day, the terrible day of the Lord. She has lived sumptuously. So says the parable of Jesus in Rich Man Divey. But her labor, her poor old so-called Negro, the black slave, he suffered for the lack of even good food and good clothes and a good shelter. Let them live out of doors. Burn their homes down if they had a good one. To show you how much he hate you to even to live in a good home. Poison and kill your cattle to keep you from feeding yourself so that you'll be at his mercy. Should not God do something about a people like that? Slip around under the cover of darkness and set your house afire. Should not a God of justice do something about this? This is the day of judgment. She will be paid back for all that she has done against you and me. She will be paid back. But she don't believe she's going to be paid back. She wants you to think that this is something. These calamities will pass over one day. And that we will be ruling you again, Negroes. But this is the way of God in destroying a people according to both Bible and Holy Quran, teachings of destruction of people in the past who disobeyed God and disobeyed his messengers and seek to kill the messengers of God. And some they did do so. They seek to disgrace them. Woe to America. The judgment is set, and the chastising is going on. The signs that would come to her, prophesied by the prophets of old, is now going on. They are here before our eyes. Four great judgments did he tell me out of his mouth, God in person. Master Farhat Muhammad, to whom praises is due forever. That is rain, snow, hail, and earthquakes. Listen for your earthquakes. They're going on in America. Listen that the weatherman tell you what's going on in other states. It's now going on. Listen to your friends tell you over the phone and in their letters what they see, the dreadful things happening. No way out. It has already come to you. The shaking of the earth, leveling of the cities, is the last thing that will happen. And before these things come to pass on a miracle and large scale, Allah shakes little small places, give a little small shaking, just to warn them. And then at a distance, afar, she reads what is going on there. Trouble, cities is destroyed by earthquake, rain is wiping away others, storms. I said to you, this is the judgment. Our wish is to teach you more about this judgment, but this album won't hold it. But I will make another one to finish getting you over into the knowledge that this is the judgment and the time have arrived that you and me must take a stand on this side with our God, Allah, and the people of ours, the black nation. Oh, we be destroyed with the white nation. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum. There's nothing left to be said. There are no words to be spoken once the master teacher has spoken. To that end, I want to close out this edition of Not So Mad Science as we have closed out the holy month of Ramadan today with the 114th surah of the Holy Quran, Al-Nas, the man. Or rather, I should say, the men. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of men, the King of men, the God of men, from the evil of the whispering of the slinking devil, who whispers into the hearts of men, from among the jinn and the men. Eid Mubarak, my dear friends, my brothers and my sisters, and Allah willing, Eid Kareem. It is my hope and my prayer that we all live to see the hereafter and to revel in its majesty. I will do my part to help my leader, teacher, and guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he does his job to satisfy the direction, the word, and the will of his teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Messiah. Let's say that again. The Mahdi. Let's call it what it is. And his servant, Solomon Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Messiah in our presence today. I leave you in the tradition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith.